Okay. Iti. Thus. Etat. This. Katitam. Described. Gurvi. O respectful mother. Jnanam. Knowledge. Tat. That. Brahma. The absolute truth. Darshanam. Revealing. Yena. By which. Anubhudyate. Is understood. Tattvam. The truth. Prakritehe. Of matter. Purushasya. Of spirit. Cha. And. My dear respectful mother, I have already described the path of understanding the absolute truth by which one can come to understand the real truth of matter and spirit and their relationship. So you can repeat, my dear respectful mother.
My dear respectful mother.
I have already described the path of understanding the absolute truth by which one can come to understand the real truth of matter and spirit and their relationship. So there's no purport to this text, so we'll read the next text, which has a nice purport to it. Text 32. Jnana yogascha mandishto nairgunyo bhakti lakshanaha dvayor apyeka hivarto bhagavachyaptalakshanaha. Philosophical research culminates in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After achieving this understanding, when one becomes free from the material modes of nature, he attains the stage of devotional service. Either by devotional service directly or by philosophical research, one has to find the same destination, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that after many, many lives of philosophical research, the wise man ultimately comes to the point of knowing that Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is everything, and therefore he surrenders unto him. Such serious students in philosophical research are rare because they are very great souls. If by philosophical research one cannot come to the point of understanding the Supreme Person, then his task is not finished. His search and knowledge is still to be continued until he comes to the point of understanding the Supreme Lord in devotional service. The opportunity for direct touch with the Personality of Godhead is given in Bhagavad Gita, where it is said that those who take to other processes, namely the processes of philosophical speculation and mystic yoga practice, have much trouble. After many, many years of much trouble, a yogi or wise philosopher may come to him, but his path is very troublesome, whereas the path of devotional service is easy for everyone. One can achieve the result of wise philosophical speculation simply by discharging devotional service, and unless one reaches the point of the Personality of Godhead by his mental speculation, then all his research work is said to be simply a labor of love. The ultimate destination of the wise philosopher is to merge in the impersonal Brahman, but that Brahman is the effulgence of the Supreme Person. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratishtaham amritasya vayasya cha. Amritasya vayasya cha. Yeah. I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is indestructible and is the supreme bliss. The Lord is the supreme reservoir of all pleasure, including Brahman pleasure. Therefore, one who has unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead is said to be already realized in impersonal Brahman and Paramatma. Okay. Okay, so Om Ganat Madandasha Dananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So here, in this particular verse, purport, is mentioned something called the epistemology. There's all these ology things, you know, ontology, epistemology, teleology, biology. Anyway, there's all these ologies. Yeah, so anyway, ology, that means logos, or anyway, the study of. So the study of epistemology means the study of knowledge, and biology means the study of bio, which means biology, the study of animate or the study of living entities. And ontology means the study of the essential aspect of things, you know, the ontological position. What's your ontological position? You are a jiva soul. That's ontology. That's the ontological position of us. Jiva soul means 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. These are all ontological descriptions. And teleology is another big word. That means the study of purposes, teleos, which comes from Latin and Greek. So anyway, so what? So the purpose, in other words, the teleology, we are actually teleologists. That means we believe in a purpose. Doesn't mean, the opposite of that would be those who think that the material world has no purpose, everything is happening by chance, interaction of matter, you know, the atoms and just molecules, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, getting back to the point. So epistemology means the study of knowledge, that is, why do we believe, or how do we know what we know? And there's different methods of coming to certain philosophical conclusions. Of course, in the Krishna conscious movement, we have the easy method, which is called the descending process. Descending process means to accept authority. And of course, even in the material world, if you have a bona fide authority, that's easier to accept knowledge in that way too. Just like if you're trying to learn about what is happening in some other part of the world, you can speculate and maybe you'll arrive at the right conclusion, and then maybe you won't arrive at the right conclusion. But if you approach someone who's an authority, someone who knows or been there, then that's the descending process. You're accepting an authority. Like if you go to medical school, probably gives that example often. If you go to medical school, you accept the authority of the professors. It's not that you just keep speculating. I mean, of course, you could figure out where the different parts of the body are by dissecting different bodies, you know, just seeing where the heart is, where the lungs is, and everything like that. But it's easier just to accept the authority of the textbooks and accept the authority of the professors. And that way you can learn really quickly, much quicker. It's the quick process. So that's called the descending process. And of course, the other process mentioned here, philosophical research, that is called the ascending process. In the ascending process, one uses the induction and deduction to try to understand things. And induction is actually very interesting, which is actually an imperfect process. But sometimes you can arrive at a bona fide conclusion just somehow or other. So induction means that you actually examine this different aspects of this world or different aspects of some subject matter, and you see some examples, because you can't examine every single example, every single instance, and you come to some overall conclusion. Like Prabhupada gives the example that you see that this person dies, that person dies, that person dies, and you think, you know, all men or all mankind is mortal. That's an inductive conclusion. You understand? And you're right. Everyone in this world is mortal. But on the other hand, you haven't come across the people who are immortal, so you're making a basic mistake, because there are some people who are immortal, and that happens to be, you know, Krishna and the soul and everything like that. So there are problems with that inductive process, because you can't possibly examine every single instance, and then you're drawing general conclusions. So Anyway, so generally, those who engage in philosophical research, the ascending process, utilize that inductive process. And they also utilize something called deduction. Deduction is simple logic whereby, you know, things equal to the same thing or equal to each other. You know, if A equals B, B equals C, therefore A equals C. You know, those are things like deduction, et cetera. Okay, so those who engage, according to this particular verse, if you engage in this philosophical research utilizing induction, and eventually you come to the point of Vasudevam Sarvamiti, after many, many births and deaths, Bohunam Janmanamante, Gyanvamam Prapatite, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Samahat Sudurlaba, then you've got it made. And in the meantime, the devotee has actually come to the conclusion much more quickly. Of course, that's also there in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The question is, Arjuna asks Krishna, which is considered to be better by, you know, those who meditate on your personal form, and in other words, those who accept that, or those who actually, you know, speculate or manifest in the beginningless or the unmanifest like that. And Krishna says, klesho dikataras tesham abhyakta shakta chetasam. It's a very important verse. He said they have simply trouble. Klesho dikataras tesham. Those people simply have trouble. When they avyakta. Avyakta means unmanifest. When they try to understand the unmanifest or try to jump to the conclusions by understanding the unmanifest. For those who are embodied, Krishna said, it is very difficult, and that's all of us. It's actually interesting. Krishna says, that means for those who are embodied, it's very difficult to do this. So basically, those who are embodied is everybody in this world, except for maybe the ghosts. So in other words, it's difficult for everybody to try to arrive at the conclusion, the proper conclusion. Prabhupada actually indicates this particular verse in the second paragraph here in the purport. Prabhupada said, his path is very troublesome, whereas the path of devotional service is easy for everyone. Anyway, so this is our epistemological method of achieving knowledge. We just accept what Krishna says. Now, on the other hand, there's some points we should make in this regard, that sometimes we may read something in Shastra, not the Bhagavatam, but some other Shastras that, let us say, those Shastras have not been passed down completely without change throughout the ages. And just like, I was just hearing that there are like 53 editions of the Mahabharata, you know, and some of them have different stories, some of them have different chapters, some of them have changed stories and things like that. So, on the other hand, as far as the descending process, we actually have to have some intelligence and accept things that have been given to us by our spiritual master in the chain of disciplic succession, because otherwise you can become very, very bewildered. Like in South India, the Mahabharata stories, like they take out all the racy parts, because they're much more conservative in South India. You know, South India is where they didn't have so many invasions like in North India. So therefore, they don't, you know, as far as the real racy, by racy I mean like the sexual parts. So they take out those parts or change them or tone them down. And whereas in North India, you know, they're really into Bollywood movies, so they actually emphasize those particular parts. So, on the other hand, so it's not that we should accept things blindly either. That's the point I'm making. One actually has to accept things according to the way it's been presented in the disciplic succession. So Shripad Madhvacharya, who is in our disciplic succession, we're called the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, he comments that the Mahabharata, you know, there's a lot of problems in the Mahabharata because there's so many different editions. So in other words, we have to be very careful. And not only in terms of books that may have been changed. I mean, what to speak of the Bible? You know, the Bible, you know, we're commenting on the Mahabharata, but if you look at the history of the Bible, you know, the Emperor Constantine and so many other people, you know, added, subtracted, and fooled around with things in the Bible. So we don't accept those things as like absolute. You understand? We have to really be careful what we accept as the descending process. And that basically means those things, as I mentioned before, that have been presented by the spiritual master, and also those things that have been applied by the spiritual master. Like, I'll give you an example. In the Bhagavatam, there's injunctions, and the Bhagavatam is certainly there in its pure form. I mean, we accept it as it is. It's not a scripture that's been messed with or changed or anything like that. So, but in the Bhagavatam, there's some injunctions about, you know, how vanaprasthas should wear tree bark and things like that. And other things, you know, how brahmacharis should act, and haven't found a brahmachari acting like that yet. But anyway, and so do we follow those things even though it's there in Shastra? And the point is that it has to be applied by the spiritual master, by the the representative in the disciplic succession. Like Prabhupada also gave another example insofar as the Chaitanya Charitamrita is concerned. When devotees were picking and choosing parts of the Chaitanya Charitamrita to read, at least they wanted to pick the racy parts. There's that word racy again. Racy doesn't mean, you know, the races like the Indianapolis 500 or something like that. It means, you know, anyway, you understand. I think everyone understands what racy means. So they wanted to pick the racy parts of Radha and Krishna's pastimes, you know, from the Anchalila. And Prabhupada said, you know, even with his own books, they're like a pharmacopoeia, I mean, in other words, a place where there's a lot of pharmaceuticals, a lot of drugs, for those of you who don't know what pharmaceuticals are. And it's up to the expert physician or pharmacist to prescribe which drug is applicable according to time, place, and circumstance. So it's really interesting. Why is it interesting? Because we have, nowadays, of course, people have become more intelligent than Prabhupada in many ways, and I say that in a facetious way, that they pick and choose things out of the books, you know, that to follow, I mean, and in this way, actually, they even develop a critical attitude towards Prabhupada. I'm going to give you one example. Let's say in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is actually Vaishnav Smriti. Smriti means like it's not the Shruti. The Shrutis are the original, you know, four Vedas. And the Smritis are the supplementary literatures. So it's considered, you know, Vaishnava instruction. So what they do is they pick some things out and they say, well, I mean, I'll give you an example, one thing. It's in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it says, don't eat carrots. So Bugs Bunny would have a lot of trouble with that particular injunction. You don't know who Bugs Bunny is? No. You do, unfortunately. So Bugs Bunny would have to take his tilak away, you know, or something like that. Cut his cheek off or one of his ears. So just like there's that injunction there. So, you know, it's a bona fide scripture. There's an injunction in it. And so what do you do about it? And Prabhupada didn't follow it. Prabhupada actually, even on the Kadashi, had devotees make carrot halva. You know, it's a famous Ekadasi preparation. Of course, as to what it does with your health is another issue that I'm not going to discuss in Bhagavatam class. But in any case, you know, so Prabhupada took it and he had devotees take it. You know, it's just like, huh? So the point is that Shastra, even bona fide Shastra, has to be applied by the spiritual master. It's not that one can independently jump and accept what to apply in his life, what not to apply. So the danger is, of course, you know, let's say you stop eating carrots. We have no problem. You can still go back to Godhead without eating carrots. You know, there's no, Krishna's not going to question you when you get to those pearly gates. St. Peter, I'm sorry, not Krishna. Our version of St. Peter is Jayan Vijay. Did you know that? Yes, St. Peter, but Jayan Vijay a lot more attractive. They have four arms. St. Peter only has two arms. So anyway, so when you get to those pearly gates, and they're not going to question you, did you eat carrots? And you say, yeah. I said, well, go back. What? Yeah, not go to hell, but anyway. So anyway, it's not that we're going to be sent back for eating carrots, but the point is that those are injunctions. Prabhupada actually explains those injunctions in the scriptures about things like that were meant for ritualistic Brahmins. Prabhupada gives an explanation why we don't follow those particular injunctions. Because Sanatana Goswami was preaching to ritualistic Brahmins, and obviously, if you're going to preach to ritualistic Brahmins, you got to, you know, just give them something that they relate to in terms of Krishna consciousness. I mean, just like we're preaching to Americans, we give them rock and roll kirtans. You know, whatever. You know, just like if you see the Polish festivals, I mean, they definitely have things that are really, you know, far out. But that's to preach to the people there. But it's not that these are eternal principles. These things are injunctions to help engage people in Krishna consciousness. So what I'm saying is that the Prabhupada has the intelligence, you know, obviously, to understand, you know, what things are eternal principles, essential principles, and what things can be adjusted. I mean, even such injunctions like sannyasis are not allowed to cross oceans, or, you know, different things like that. You know, Prabhupada violated, apparently, because Prabhupada understood what was essential, what was applicable, what was not applicable. So when we talk about the dissenting process, it's quite more complicated than just like picking up the book and just saying, you know, here's what I'm supposed to do. Or here's what's true. I mean, it's actually the guru has to be able to give us this information. It has to come through guru, shastra, sadhu, etc. So this is, you know, it's just not as easy as it appears in the beginning. And we see many devotees have misunderstandings, confusion, and criticize Vaishnavas. And, you know, ultimately, let's say, you know, let's say if you're not eating carrots, and I said before, you can still certainly go back to Godhead without eating carrots, but then you may develop a mentality, you know, that, you know, Prabhupada ate carrots, but Prabhupada didn't know, you know, I know more than Prabhupada, you know, or something like that. And then by developing that attitude, you become unqualified to be Krishna conscious. So it's a really, you know, there's a lot of fine lines there. There's a lot of caution that one has to exercise in dealing with the Vedic literatures and dealing with this descending process. Not so easy as it appears at first. Yeah, especially, and, you know, what struck me was just hearing, because there was a class Ridhananda Maharaj was giving about the Mahabharata, and just hearing about all the different versions. I didn't realize there were like 53 versions of the Mahabharata. And, you know, basically the Pandavas there in every version. But, you know, how they were born, you know, changes a little bit in different versions. And, you know, and then even other scriptures like the Bhakti Ratnakara, for example, which deals with the pastimes of Srinivasacharya and Narottamadas Thakur, Shyamananda Goswami, and has a wonderful fifth chapter that deals with the Brajamandal Parikrama, in which Raghava Pandit actually takes Srinivasacharya and Narottamadas Thakur everywhere around Vrindavan. It's a really wonderful chapter. And that's what the Brajamandal Parikrama was originally based on, that particular chapter in the Bhaktivinoda. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur said it has very little historical accuracy. You know, but he says the bhava, or as explained here, the mood in devotional service is accurate. So anyway, what I'm saying is that I'm not trying to just make you question everything in life. You know, am I a soul? Am I God or am I not God? Is Krishna God? You know, is George Bush God? You know, anyway, I'm not trying to throw you up in the air like that, but we have to be careful what we accept as absolute. I mean, it has to be meet the tests of Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, and also as far as application, meet those particular tests of Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. Everybody understands that point? Okay, any questions or comments? Because we're talking about epistemology in class. Yeah. Questions, comments, arguments? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was just thinking about that it seems that, like, for instance, like when I first came to Krishna consciousness, you know, Prabhupada had just recently been here, and then he had just, you know, left the planet, so there was so much focus. And today it seems that there's just so many, like, it, with the, you know, because the way you have the media now and you have the internet, and
yeah.
It's just like there's like kind of like it's like going to a smorgasbord. They look here, there, and there, and it seems that a lot of times for people that are new to Krishna consciousness, it can be very, very confusing.
Yeah, it was certainly very simple and easy to understand when Prabhupada was on the planet. And now, you know, for someone coming from the outside, it's very, very difficult to understand. So what I recommend to most people when they first come is to read the Prabhupada Lilamrita, you know, before they practically read any other books. Of course, they can read Bhagavad Gita and some other things, but before they can become a little more sophisticated, read and understand Srila Prabhupada's position and how he's been appointed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to present Krishna consciousness. You know, so our Krishna consciousness comes through him. It's not that we can just jump to this understanding or that understanding. We should always remember, just like we were going around Braj and the Brajmandal Parikrama, remember that, you know, Prabhupada is the revealer of the Holy Dhamma. It's not that I have direct access to the Holy Dhamma and Brajmandal without, you know, Srila Prabhupada's mercy there. So we just have to be very, very careful to, you know, just to keep Prabhupada in the center like that. And also Prabhupada's system of management in ISKCON too. I mean, really, you have to be careful. You know, if we institute democracy, it could be, you know, that's not really what Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada actually wanted somewhat like the Catholic Church. Prabhupada said we should study the Catholic Church to understand the system of management, which is a descending process of management. Certainly, we don't want to study so much the other Christian churches like the Methodists or the other ones in their system of management, because they end up with all sorts of problems like that. You know, some churches decide that they're going to have, some illicit activity is going to be allowed in their church. I'm not going to get into the details because it may offend someone. And other churches decide it's not all right, and then they break away from the main church. So, you know, so Prabhupada's actual system is also a descending, system of management is also a descending system. The system of management of the temples is also a descending system, not an ascending system. What's that? How do you apply what? System of management? Well, system of management is, I mean, just as Prabhupada says, the GBC is the ultimate managing authority for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which means the GBC body is the ultimate authority, not the individual GBCs. And the individual GBC works under the GBC body, and the individual GBC, you know, appoints other persons to work in the International Society. It's a descending system. That way you maintain the philosophical integrity. Otherwise, you know, you can have, you know, people vote, and then you can end up with, you know, all sorts of philosophical or strange things going on. Ultimately, I mean, maybe not first generation it would happen like that, but then second or third things happen. So there has to be, there has to be a body that maintains, which is the GBC body, maintains that, you know, integrity in relationship to Prabhupada. And that was Prabhupada, that was Prabhupada's, you know, last will, what Prabhupada said. So anyway, so that's our system. You know, it's a system of descending authority insofar as spirituality, insofar as philosophy, insofar as structure too. It's descending, not ascending. Latin saying, vox populi is vox, is the voice of God. You know, anyway, the voice of the people is the voice of God, is not actually our philosophy, Prabhupada said. So, any other questions? Yeah. There's no culture, and then there's no connection, because then we think we have access directly to Krishna consciousness, which we don't have. I mean, just like in myself, my own example, you know, my own life, I'm serving Prabhupada's mission. I mean, there's so many difficulties in serving Prabhupada's mission. It'd be a lot easier for me to do what some other people have done, you know, just like make my own mission or something like that. It's a lot easier, you know. I mean, personally, it's a lot easier, but... You know, but my service is to serve Prabhupada's mission. You know, that's my loyalty to Prabhupada, and that's my connection to Krishna. Otherwise, then I break that connection. You know, when you break the connection to the powerhouse, you may look good. In other words, the plug may look good if it's not connected to the powerhouse through the proper wires, but then it won't have any juice in it. So, anyway, so. Yeah, so there has to be that mood of loyalty and love. You know, there's love, you know, there's love and loyalty and all those other things which are essential to Krishna consciousness. I mean, if we want to advance, if we just want to have another version of, you know, mundane society, friendship and love, that's another thing. You know, then that may not be the most effective dynamic. But if we want to actually advance in Krishna consciousness, we always have to remain connected through the proper chain, through the proper channel, and through the proper etiquette, like that. Because the real goal is to actually become spiritually advanced. The real goal is not to anything else. You know, that's why we're here. We're here to actually become advanced. We're here to go through the stages of devotional service, develop anartha nivritti, get rid of the anarthas, become steady, develop ruchi, develop attachment for Krishna, shakti, develop bhava, and finally prema. I mean, that's why we're here. Don't forget it. And so then, you know, then we may need to make some sacrifice. Like, you know, I'm making sacrifice by staying in the movement. You know, there's always difficulty to move. It's a lot easier, you know, we go to the GBC meetings, everybody thinks, you know, oh, it's easy, you know, I just wake up in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, and sleep for the rest of the day, you know, eat prasadam, eat opulently, all my cheese sandwiches. So, what? Ooh, luck. The only worse thing than that is tofu cheese. Anyway, so, but it's a struggle. It's a struggle dealing with this, you know, the international issue, having to pay off. I mean, just like we had this lawsuit, you know. And now, you know, we have to pay $9.5 million plus legal fees, which is probably like another $5 million or $6 million. So, you know, you have to pay these things. But I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, I've done a lot of things wrong, but I had nothing to do with this particular case. But, you know, why am I doing it? Because I had a love for Prabhupada, that's all. You know, why am I doing it? It's an inconvenience, certainly. And I may have to go to the Middle East, you know, me. I got a nose job before I go to the Middle East, but anyway. So I won't get in trouble. But anyway, so So, you know, I may have to go to the Middle East to collect some money for it, you know. But that's love. Just like someone is working for their family, you know. You tolerate so many things. The child is crying, passing urine, stool, changing diapers. You know, this is love. Where there's love, then there's spiritual advancement. That's the point. It's not a question of jnana, you know, jnana yoga or anything like that. It's a question of bhakti, you know, where there's love for Krishna and the spiritual master. Then there's spiritual advancement. Otherwise, you know, things may go on, but it's not going to be spiritual advancement. It's going to be a shell at that particular point. You know, so I got to go, you know, I have to collect money here, I have to collect money there, you know. So there's love. And then that's all. I mean, it's a lot easier for me to just go to Govardhan and just say, Hari Bol, spirit soul, anyway. It's a lot easier, you know. It's a lot easier. So you take some austerity to please Krishna, and then the love develops in the heart. But when we're demanding things for ourselves, then love does not develop. And we have needs. Yeah, everybody has needs. That's all right. But when we forget about this loving aspect of Krishna consciousness, we've lost the essence of Krishna consciousness. So any questions or comments? Actually, we got about half a minute left.
In reference to following blindly, we know that if we follow somebody who's not modified, you know, they won't be taken.
So don't follow blindly, that's right.
Right, and so that's fine. So, but then when we think about following the spiritual master and following his example and doing things out of love, we know the spiritual master will test sometimes to, you know, make sure that we don't follow blindly. But I'm just wondering more about following blindly in that regard.
Use your intelligence. Well, then get it. Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. Like if you start wearing tree bark, you know, we'll be in trouble. Guru, we have our checks and balances. Develop some intelligence. Buy some ginkgo biloba or something.